Hello and welcome to the Velocino Cycling Podcast, where the best stories have not yet been written. Today, it's me and Gemma, and we have a fantastic guest today. Our guest today is Dan Turner. Dan Turner has done a fantastic journey over the last couple of years, transitioning his life or changing his life from being more like a normal person to a really athletic. Shall I do that again?
No, it's fine. I like it. It's great.
I'm not sure where you were going, but yeah.
I was like, I didn't want to say that you were round.
No, you know what? The thing that's really funny about it is I just was so focused on work that, you know, it was just like work and eat and sleep.
Yeah, definitely. I can completely
relate to that. That's a normal person.
Yeah, a normal person, right? Yeah, like a normal... A workhorse.
Yeah.
Let's call it a workhorse. And
entrepreneur.
What I want to say here is like I looked up some of your followers on Instagram and I saw that actually we have mutual followers on Instagram, but these guys might not know that we know each other actually very well.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, and I said this to Dan just before actually we started recording, that you have influenced my life in such a positive way because you were the first one in the or the first person in the UK that actually employed me back then when I came. So thank you for that. And you might not even know about that, how important you were for me back then.
I was going to say you didn't know that you were the first person to employ him. Neil's, Neil's fudged his CV a bit.
No,
a couple of English jobs on there.
No, but at that time, you know, I came to the UK and at that time I was still a web designer and I had no idea where to even start. And then I somehow came across this job advert of Dan's company. And then I applied and for some reason got the job. And that was such a positive effect for me because it was obviously a positive knock-on effect and it got me to where I am today, which is fantastic. So thank you for that.
Thank you, mate.
So
was he any good?
No. Well.
I think I was really nice.
Questionable choice of curries when we first met.
That's true. That's true.
Prawn korma, I remember.
Yeah, obviously. Because I come from a nation where curry is not really popular.
Yeah.
Clearly.
But I knew what prawns were, but I didn't know how the combination would taste.
It was pretty bad.
Anyways, but no, good timing. And today also, one more thing. We wanted to record with you, actually, Gemma, Mike, and me, because Mike is also following you since some time, also without knowing that I knew you. So he thought it would have been quite cool if he would have been around as well. However, he had to pull out short notice because he is in Sati's massage parlor.
I said to you, don't use the word parlor.
Oh, actually, so our friend Chris Sutton, he runs a massage, sports massage down in Aston Clinton. That's where we all go. And I think Mike said as an apology, he will definitely send us some kind of video message that we can cut into this show.
Really? From the massage
I don't know. Let's see. Anyways.
It was just the way he said it. You know, we were just on a conversation. We were, you know, zooming with each other. Okay, we've got a guest coming in. Are we all okay for tomorrow evening? And Mike's like, I'm having a massage. And I was like, for some reason, we just thought it was hilarious. I'm not sure why. He just didn't use the word sports.
Yeah. Anyways.
Apologies, listeners. Mike cannot make it this evening.
So let's start with Dan. So to the listeners that don't know you, although I think in our area, I feel a lot of people might know you from your Instagram because you are like an internet phenomenon?
No, I don't get as far as like, that.
An influencer.
I think the thing that's funny is I literally just set up an Instagram account. Yeah. I think it was like 2019. Yeah. And I was just like, I've signed up for a Spartan race.
Yeah.
And that was kind of how it started. And then on from there, I just started posting that I was running and what I was doing. And then before I knew it, there was like a few thousand people following me. And I was like, wow, okay, I've got all these people behind me now actually motivating me.
To do it.
And I'm motivating them as well. And then, you kind of end up in that situation where you're like, okay, well, this weekend I'm going to do this. And everyone's like, yeah, go for it. And then you're like, okay.
Got to do it now.
I've actually got to do this. So it kind of worked both ways. It was good for them and it was good for me.
For those who don't know, and I'm not entirely sure actually, because I've seen people like you maybe advertise on Instagram, what is a Spartan race? What do you actually have to do?
So so really, it's just like you could do a 5K or a 13K or a half marathon. And there are just obstacles in between.
Is it in my mind that you get like electrocuted?
No. That's like
you have to jump over fire, right?
Tough mudder.
Oh, that's the tough mudder.
Yeah, but you jump over fire?
At the end, you jump over fire.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Like, I remember actually when you started this second Instagram account, I was like, yeah, it's a sports account for Dan. And I think I have to go like a couple of steps back because, so when I came to the UK, I was actually really fit. And then not so much.
Yeah.
And we somehow like...
I'm not going to say anything. Go ahead, James.
Shall I just say that you basically went to where I was and I went to where you were?
The thing is, Neil, is like when you were talking to me earlier and you're like, oh, I did a half Ironman.
Yeah.
Like before, I remember when you said that, I was like, oh, like you need to be like a superhero to do that.
I used to be.
And now I'm like... it's not a full one, mate. We need to get you on the full Ironman.
Well, I did three. It's basically 1.5.
Okay.
Yeah. Good point.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So, no, first of all, I have to start running. But anyway, so this body transformation, I think if you think about where you've been, also how, what I think is super interesting is how you had the balls to put yourself out there, right? You went there and said, like, I do this Instagram account and I commit to it, you know, like, here's me, this little round person, and I'm going to do this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that is a ballsy move. Like,
yeah, I mean, really for me, kind of what happened was, I mean, there's a whole backstory to it. I'll kind of go through that now if that works with the schedule on this. Yeah. But my uncle got motor neuron disease. Terrible. Like, I don't know if you know much about it, but basically your muscles end up kind of wasting away. It's horrible thing to happen, and for me that really kind of made me like feel mortal. And I know it kind of sounds silly, but never really thought too much about that. And then I kind of saw him dwindle away and I thought, well, how dare I like not make the most out of my life and kind of make best of what I have. So at that point I was like, right, this is a turning point for me, and I'm just gonna throw all of that energy into that. And that really kind of started things off.
That's really nice to hear. I was thinking about when you first get an Insta account, generally, I'm sure you won't mind me saying this, usually it's for like outside recognition. You're not just doing it for yourself, are you? You're getting it to get recognition from others, whether that's like motivation or some kind of inspiration. But the initial thought you had was all internal. It was just, I'm doing this for me. You know, link to uncle, but yeah, I'm just doing this for me, and then it became a wider thing.
Absolutely. And the other thing for me is I'm only ever posting stuff that's like results, so I'm not like really posting stuff being like, oh, you should probably think about doing this or you should do that. I'm like, this is what I did, this has actually happened, like today or yesterday. It's not like a photo of me really from ages ago saying, you know, it's not the same old stuff. I find that a lot of stuff on Instagram does get really samey, and it's kind of the same old message over and over again.
Now, what I really like is, and maybe for me it's slightly different because I know you. I although we haven't spoken much over the last couple of years, I still feel I have a strong connection. I know what kind of person you are, so I knew, even though you got really successful in terms of like follower growth, people are following you, your body transformation, you became fitter, much more active, I knew you were not doing this for others or to please others. And I think this is really what kept me on the ball, because I know you're not this kind of person, which I really enjoy following. Because as you said, there's so many people out there that just do it for like, oh, they'll give me a like, they tap on the shoulders, maybe I can make money off it and stuff. And I know that this is not your drive, which I really like.
Yeah, it's all about sort of pushing yourself. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, whenever I've finished an event, like you get that feeling, you're like, wow, okay. And for me, going from, I mean, I lost 35 kg in 4 months when I originally like lost my weight, which is like basically 4 stone in 4 months. So from going like to being really skinny and then suddenly like hitting these milestones, for me, it was just like, wow, okay, well, if I can do that, can I do this? And just like sharing that with people as well, it's just like fascinating.
What did you do with your clothes?
You know, I went from an XL all the way down to extra small. And now I'm working my way back up to medium again.
Oh my goodness.
And so I'm hoping I'm going to be XL again.
Oh my
but goodness. Just in muscle.
Did you have to buy yourself like a sewing machine to constantly like fixing your clothes?
I spent an absolute fortune on clothes.
I was going to say, they don't advertise that, do they? You know, lose the weight, but it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a small fortune, to be honest.
Yeah, and the landfill is also not good for like sustainability.
I gave all to charity.
Yeah, okay.
If you do lose loads of weight, please give all your clothes to charity.
Don't throw them in the bin.
Absolutely.
So I guess the listeners, they will wonder now, like, how did you start? Like, was it like a process where you were like, okay, I'm going to sign up for an event and I try to get fit for that? Or was it like, you know what, I start tomorrow and I won't stop?
So I'd done loads of diets before. So I, like when I was overweight, I'd basically every summer, I'd lose a stone, like starve myself, go on holiday and then just drink loads and eat loads of pizza and then come back and I'd be like 2 stone heavier. Yeah. And it would just every year just get bigger and bigger.
This is my
just
life.
Incrementally.
Yeah, basically. But this time, kind of my mindset was like, okay, well, what am I going to become? So almost like the way an actor would kind of get ready to do a part, they'd think about, okay, well, what's this person look like? If you want to look like someone that does Iron Man, then
like Niels,
then you need to.
What does that mean?
No, I just thought at the time, right? You know, Niels was a good and still a good inspiration.
Absolutely,
yeah, absolutely, yeah. Okay, crack on.
So,
thank you.
So yeah, so and that literally goes for everything, like every part of your life, everything you eat, your sleep, the way you train, the way you think about things. You're not just like doing like hours and hours on turbo trainers. You're also like thinking about things you can do to like make yourself mentally stronger. And so for me, it's like everything.
What could that be that makes you mentally stronger?
So really like trying to find out what your limit is. And I literally haven't found out what my limit is. I booked races because I thought I couldn't do them. And then I've done them and literally then just gone up and up and up. So like right now, like the full Ironman in Bolton's kind of scary, but like in my head, if I do it, then I'm looking at these other races called Aquaman. I don't know if you heard about those.
This is a movie. With
no, it sounds like a movie,
it sounds like
doesn't
a Marvel.
It?
Yeah.
It is one.
Yeah.
With the Jason Momoa.
It is. But these are like ultra swim races. So you'd like swim 50K.
Is this in Sweden? This stuff?
They've got them all over the world, so.
Isn't it you run with like flippers on your hand and stuff?
No.
Maybe that is the movie, Neil.
That's definitely the movie.
Oh, maybe I think I heard about something, but anyways.
Did you find it was kind of a snowball effect? So you've talked about loads of different elements, which is great, but I guess when you first started, you just don't know that those exist. You don't know that you might need to be mentally strong, or you don't know that you might need to do this. But I think snowball effect can work both ways, actually, like in a positive.
I mean, I literally booked like a 5K race, and at the gym I was at, I was like, oh, I booked this 5K race. I'm kind of a bit worried about it. And they were like, you don't need to be worried about 5K. Like, you can definitely do 5K. I was like, I haven't ran since I was at school. Like, I don't think I can do it. And they're like, oh, do the super. Like, see how you feel. And the first time I went out and I ran the 13K straight away. And then I decided at that point, I'm going to book all the races that weekend.
Your first run was 13K?
Yeah.
Your very first run was
13. And then I was like, right, I'm going to book all the Spartan races. So in one weekend at Windsor in 2019, I did all three races. And then I qualified to do the World Championships in Sparta. And I was like, and so at that point, I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go to Sparta and do it again.
What did your friends say? Like, were they like,
well,
what did your mum say?
Yeah.
One of the things she was like, are you taking steroids? Yeah. I was like, I'm literally working so hard for this.
I think thanks the mum's always like, oh, be careful.
Yeah.
Please be careful.
Yeah, there's so many people like that I'd known before that were like, oh, don't overdo it.
Yeah,
like, yeah, that's a classic.
Oh, you know, yeah. Watch out for your knees. You need your knees. Like, even yeah. now, you need even your now, knees, yeah. people are like, watch your knees. Like, the one day my knees go, they probably weren't going to go anyway.
Yeah, like, bee's knees.
yeah, and the thing that's funny is when I was overweight, people were like, oh, yeah, be careful your knees.
Yeah.
Lose weight for your knees.
It's like, whatever you good. Do. so, win. Yeah, most people, I think when they start running, especially 5K, they would go for this, what is it, couch to 5K?
Couch to 5K, absolutely. Stuff. It is a great yeah. recommendation, FYI, everybody. Yeah.
absolutely.
Listeners, if you want to start running, you don't need to start with 13K.
Yeah, please don't. I mean, I made so many mistakes on this journey that, I really didn't need to make.
Oh, what were some of the mistakes?
I mean, I ran the 13K and then every day for 5 days, I ran the same distance. And then I basically couldn't walk and I had to crawl down the stairs, get in my car, drive to A&E. And then I obviously showed them the shoes that I was wearing and they were just like CrossFit style, no cushion, nothing.
Like plimsolls.
Yeah. So definitely if you're going to do a couch to 5K, even just maybe go and get some proper running shoes.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Good thing to do.
so good. And so you've done running. So you started running, you've done all the Spartan races, you were setting yourself new challenges, you're still aiming to find your limit, although you have been to the world champs of Sparta.
Surely that is the limit for that.
I mean,
did you win it?
No. I mean, for me,
I would have kicked you out. Yeah,
it was fine. Just being surrounded by those people, and also like doing races where I'm like not winning. If I'm doing races where I'm winning, then they're not hard enough. Like,
yeah.
So I want to keep on like being the worst.
Yeah,
you know, but just finishing, like for me, that's
exactly why I lose most of my races.
yeah, that's my
excuse. Because you want to
right?
be the worst.
yes, great. Yes, yeah. yes. Otherwise, I would have not aimed high enough, right?
Because you have to have room to grow.
Exactly.
I mean, you're not allowed to come last, though. You got, one person you got to beat.
I feel honestly.
I don't know where this is going.
No, nobody. Like, whatever race you enter, you won't be last. There's always always someone slower. Always.
The back. Well, I suppose there's always a back marker. So you're never
no, but
last.
There's always someone slower. I don't know if I ever met someone who really became last in a race. I feel everyone.
I think I've come last.
Really?
Definitely in cycling, 100%.
Yeah, but then if there's like maybe 5 or 6 entries or something.
Yeah, I think I think it was fairly full and I came last. Cycling's hard.
I might have come last, but then often, I think in the races where I came last, other people have stopped already before.
Okay, yeah, they pulled out.
Yeah,
DNFs.
So,
yeah.
Exactly. So, anyway.
There will always be this percentage of people that didn't even start.
Oh, exactly.
So there you go.
Exactly.
That's true.
Yeah. I know, this is another life, another story, but I also participated in the World Champs once in canoeing, and we fell in right at the start.
What do they call that? What's the acronym for that?
Well, Aquaman.
yeah.
An FI fell in.
no, actually, we got back into the boat and actually finished the race. But
nice. Did you come last?
Yeah, we came last. But other people didn't finish at all. So
didn't start.
So in this situation. And also, we had to qualify first. Anyways. So we have done all this running and stuff, but no... This is a cycling podcast and you got into cycling. I remember back then you started with Peloton and I remember I saw it on Instagram and it's like, no, don't do that. Yeah, no, don't do that. Come to the dark side. Come do like Swift.
What, Wendover Woods on a Friday night? yeah, don't do that Peloton indoor rubbish.
The thing is, right, obviously because I've come from a completely different background.
Yeah.
So I started with Peloton and
no hate, by the way, no hate. Yep. If you like Peloton, you can love Peloton.
but the thing is, I was only doing really the 90-minute endurance rides. And the thing that was kind of cool about them was you have a trainer there who is actually telling you like, okay, like after this amount of time, you need to eat something. Because like, I didn't know.
That's
like,
really good,
I'm not from that thing. And so, and even like thinking about like, okay, well, like making sure that I'm putting the power through both legs. Like, do I have a dominant leg? Like, I never thought about that stuff before.
Use your glutes and stuff?
Yeah, and like bike position and all that. Honestly, if I just jumped onto Swift, I wouldn't have.
To be fair, at the start of Swift, it does say don't forget to eat and don't forget to turn your fan on. Have you seen it? You know when it loads up.
Yeah, maybe.
I do remember you haven't seen it because you never have your fan on.
My fan's never on.
Get a remote control.
I can see it as well. Yeah. And I'm like,
That is really good, actually, because when I'm all for a cycling drill, I like them. You know, I've grown up with Trainer Road, Coach Chad.
Same, yeah.
On it all the time. Yeah. So actually, it is a really good way to start cycling to remember to eat, but also to do these things that probably don't seem like they're making a difference at the time. You're like, why am I thinking about like exactly turning my legs in a perfect circle, etc. But yeah, I think it might have helped you. It was really good.
Yeah. So for me, like doing that really sort of built up some confidence. Yeah. And then I remember my first race was Blenheim Palace Weekend Warrior. That was my first triathlon.
Oh, I think that was exactly my wife's first triathlon back then too, like I don't know, like 15 years ago or something. And sorry, just a quick anecdote, she would hate me for that, but she borrowed a bike of someone for it, a road bike, and she didn't know how the gears worked, so she had to run up the hills. Anyways, crack on. I'm sorry.
That's funny.
Sorry, Hannah.
Yeah, sorry, Hannah.
And I remember I'd sort of done all this indoor cycling, and then I finally go to a local shop, buy a bike, and suddenly I'm cycling home on a TT bike with my feet.
Hang on, I feel like we've like fast forwarded a load where you went to the shop.
So
how,
like,
did you come home with a TT bike?
So I just went online and I was like, okay, I need a TT bike.
They didn't advise you. I thought they're like, what we can sell you.
No. 10 grand.
I looked at this and I was like, I just need the cheapest thing. Like with carbon fiber, that's all I knew. Carbon fiber, that's it. So I get this bike, and I literally just cycle home in it, and it was the scariest thing.
Yeah, please tell me you were wobbly after, you know, going from the Peloton to.
I was so wobbly. I fell off it as well. I did that thing, you know, where you like stop and then you just go like.
I forgot to unclip. Yeah, we've all been there.
I was trying to unclip, but. It just wasn't happening.
No, in these moments, it doesn't work. But you said, at least you said on it right way around.
That is true,
So, but I think we've all been there, like, especially on traffic lights.
We just forget,
And I never, like, understood why sometimes cyclists kind of do things because their feet are strapped in. Like, I never really understood because I wasn't really ever a proper cyclist. Yeah. I was always on a mountain bike. Not saying that's not proper cycling, but... Yeah. Very different on the road.
A road cyclist, yeah.
Road cycling, yeah, exactly.
Kladung.
To be fair, I've fallen off like that on my mountain bike. I think Mike and I went out, and Mike's way more skilled than I am. And I was following behind him, as I always am. And I sort of fell off. I think I've lost my balance, fell off in the background. He turned around, he's like, "You okay back there?" I was like, "Yeah, fine. No, just forgot to unclip."
Is this now our weekly Gemma fell off show?
Because last week
you fell into the sand.
Yeah, that this time I fell off just at the woods, actually, just on the grass.
Oh my goodness. The Gemma fell off show. So where did we stop? Oh, with your TT bike.
Yeah, so in the end, I was just trying to build up confidence using that bike because I just hadn't even... So everything for me along the whole journey has been... just new, the whole thing.
Do you still just have the TT bike, or do you also have a road bike now?
I only have a TT bike.
Yeah,
that's the only bike I have.
Do you ride outside then mostly, or on the turbo most of the time?
Turbo at the moment, and then as soon as the weather gets a little bit better, then I'll be out.
Oh, nice. But also, like saying that you are still your main goal is the full Ironman.
Absolutely.
Where you got the bike for, and where you're preparing for. When is the event?
It's in 4 months' time.
I still have a bit of time. It
doesn't feel like that long.
Oh, I thought you said you have a bit of time. Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Yeah, to train, to get there with him. Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, me.
That's what I thought.
No, I'm not doing it.
Oh, that's why I was laughing.
No, I don't run.
That's why I was laughing. It came across to say, like, yeah, I still have a bit of time.
No, also, I said to Dan before we started recording, I really don't understand these people that go through the like this pain of doing a full Ironman and then do it in England. It's when you swim, it's cold.
Yeah.
You know, it will be like it's tough enough. But
I mean, I think you do the hardest stuff, like same with training, like you train in the worst conditions. I remember I was saying to you again before this podcast, I was in Cornwall for some time last year and everything was locked down, all the gyms were closed, and I was doing workouts like in January on the beach, and I remember like my hands like freezing like when I was picking up the weights. So all of those like horrible moments along the way mean that then when you finally do your Bolton,
I have to say though,
it'd be great. It'd be absolutely beautiful compared to
that's true.
The training
would be a walk in the park. Well, they say if you do a half or a full Ironman, it's more about the journey, right? The transition or the transformation towards this event that actually is the most important. I remember when I did my first half Ironman, I was really pumped. Like when I trained for it, I was really like keen to finally do it. I was waiting for the day, and then I did it, and I was like, now what? Like,
well, the thing for me that was amazing is because I did Weekend Warrior, my first triathlon. I ran over, crossed the line. I was like, I've done my first triathlon.
Yeah.
Like, grabbed the medal and the drink, and then I ran back to the start, and then did straight away another one.
Yeah.
I did four on the first day. I was like,
How long is it? The distance? It's not like
it was four sprint triathlons on the first. So I basically did a half Ironman, just like boom. And then and I remember I was speaking to my dad because my dad was like, he was like just trying to run back to the start with me, and he was like knackered. I remember like, should I go for the fifth one? Like, because we had time, and we actually
did. He say what you need?
No. He didn't say what you need. But he was like, oh, I think you've done enough today, son. You know, like let's see. It's like you still got another day tomorrow.
Don't do steroids. Don't.
Yeah. And then I thought four was enough. And then second day I did three. But I'm really hoping that this one I'm gonna kind of do better than seven.
And just one. You're just gonna do one.
No. I'm gonna try and do at least eight.
Yeah.
That's
full
plan.
Full Ironmans.
But no. Not in the same day.
No, they're not full Ironmans. Oh. They're sprint triathlons.
Oh, so I thought you want to do the full Ironman twice.
Seven times.
Yeah. Do you know what, though? I was looking, I was a little bit fitter before all of the lockdowns, and I was looking at Brutal Triathlon. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh.
But I originally booked...
The name is not really appealing.
I booked to do that, but that was kind of stopped, and I need to kind of work my way back up to that. But that was...
Have you heard about Norsemen?
No.
This is in...
I don't think you should encourage it.
I think it's in Norway.
You're really scared.
I think it's in Norway or somewhere. It's really cold.
Right.
And you start off a boat. You start off a boat and you jump from the boat into like ice cold water. And then you swim. You have to look it up. It's really... I think it's one of the most brutal things you can do. And it's really cold the whole time, basically.
Right.
I wouldn't bank on Bolton not being like that, if I'm honest.
Bolton's going to be pretty cold.
Yeah, but not like Norway.
Yeah, true.
I have a question that just came up, and because as I said, like I knew a fraction of a life of who you were before. Mm. Now that you are fit, or like even like during the time when you got fit and when you realized, hey, I'm actually quite good in this. Hey, actually, it's fun. It goes easy. Was there a time where you were really like looking at your old life and you're like, holy shit, like I could have done, if I would have started this maybe like 10 years earlier, like I could have done so many more really cool things. Is this something that crosses your mind? Or
I think you could definitely think about things like that. I have before thought, oh, if I'd started this earlier, but I don't know if I would have been like mature enough and had like all of the drive. And I mean, if you look at endurance sports in general, like mainly it's older people that do it. And I've kind of looked into this, and it's because we basically have better attention spans. Young people are...
And more money.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Yeah.
it's also true. And or what is there something, and also like to take this question further, is there something now that you miss from that old...
Yeah, I wondered if you missed any of your old self. It's like, this is very like a packet of biscuits.
Oh, but this is the best thing, right?
Yeah.
I probably eat more now than I did then.
Yeah, that's true.
Definitely, like getting really fit and then having to do like real, like loads and loads of training.
Yeah.
Suddenly you just pretty much can eat whatever you want, but
yeah, that's true.
I'm just trying to focus on eating as much of the good food as I can.
Do you have a nutritionist or something, or is there something just where you would like try to go with what you think is right?
I just kind of listen to my body, and I just do like really simple macros. I just basically 130 grams of protein a day, and the rest of it I'm kind of just eating loads and loads of pasta. And I mean, I could probably home it down and be a little bit better with that, but I think with things like this, if you want them to be sustainable, it needs to just be like part of your life, not like you don't want to be looking at a sheet of paper your whole life about what you can eat.
I think this is a really, really important bit. And this is only the only way to not fall back to old habits. It's like, if this is now your life, right? This is your lifestyle that you want to live. By the way, I also have like a very balanced diet, just 4 tablespoons of Nutella every day. Maximum.
That's 100. Do you know how many grams?
Oh, I think it's like a little glass.
Small glass. Like American measurements, a cup.
Yeah, a cup. Like, yeah, a just like cup, a little cup. Yeah.
That's fine. Before you get on the bike, that's fine.
Exactly. We have to take you out riding, by the way.
I'd love to.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I really can't wait when it's a little bit warmer. Well, the listeners might think we are wimps now.
You went out last night, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I wonder. Yeah, I forgot about that.
And then I saw you. Small interlude. And then everyone was like, "Right, usual Friday night." And he was like, "I don't know, 2 in a week."
I need to recover. Actually, I woke up this morning and I had a bit of like a sore leg.
The Doms.
The Doms.
It'd be worse tomorrow.
Thanks. Anyhow, let's go back to let's get back to business. Regarding. So we know that the Ironman is in 4 months' time. What's then?
So what, after the Ironman?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I'm kind of looking at that Aquaman race. I think that's the next thing. I think for me, out of everything, swimming is actually my favorite part of it. That's why when I moved to Cornwall, I was doing loads of surfing. Absolutely love swimming in the sea.
Did you swim at all before? We haven't really mentioned the swimming, because swimming is one of the thing that generally people find the hardest. If you swam when you were younger, it usually comes back like pretty quickly. But if you haven't, it's really tough.
Yeah.
I mean, swimming was horrible. The reason that I really started swimming was because when I started running,
your knees.
I just was so sore. I was so sore at the Doms.
Yeah.
Like you. And I was like, what can I do? Like, I don't want to get into my old habits of, you know, sitting at home, like, maybe I should have a beer, or maybe I should just eat loads of bad food. And, you know, I was kind of like, oh, I need to do something. So I started swimming. And then, yeah, again, a huge learning curve with swimming when it came to doing triathlons, because that, like, just trying to breathe, I just found it so hard.
Yeah, breathing is tough. Like, do you breathe through both sides or just one side?
Both.
Yeah. No, I can't do that. Like, because I learned swimming when I was a canoer back then, and our swimming was not aimed for competing. It was just for like getting fit over the winter. So I always just learned to swim, to breathe to one side. If somebody asked me to breathe to the other, I will drown. My body just doesn't do this motion.
We had a previous guest, actually Dean Kidd, who went from like zero to Ironman, and he had a similar thing where he just hadn't swum at all, and he said it was one really difficult to learn, but the biggest problem he had is that he could do the distance and he'd make the cutoff time, but he was absolutely exhausted when he got out, and he still had to do, you know, his whole bike and his whole run. So yeah, we've come across it before, where it's just so tricky. So it's actually good to hear that now it's your favorite thing, because usually people are still like, oh, no, I just do the swim, I've got bed up, but I just do it.
I think Nils, one of the things you were saying about like how your life's different, like from where I was and where I am now. When I went to Cornwall and started surfing, like that was an incredible experience that I never would have been able to have if I hadn't lost all of the weight. And being able to go out in like really like choppy conditions and trying to like get past the waves. Like, even though I was fit, like when I arrived there, I'm so much fitter now swimming, because trying to get through, like, to actually get the sets of waves is really tough.
yeah, it opens up a completely different avenue for you, right? Like in so many other things, like also like dipping your toes into surfing, as you said, and it's really, really cool.
Do you think it gave you the confidence, like, to just say, so no, you were fitter, you're like, well, I think I can do this, but the confidence to be like, yeah, I'm just going to give this a go, you know? I've been pretty good at picking up stuff so far. Yeah. What's the worst that can happen?
I think that's the thing. Once you start doing these things and then you realise, oh, I'm actually capable of more than I thought, then it just, yeah, you do get that confidence. And then when you are faced with new challenges, it's great. And it applies to all elements of your life. So yeah. Like I've learned so much through this experience that I'm now applying to like just my regular day job too.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like also just to come back to the confidence bit, and although I was just making a joke about the seals and stuff, I can understand if you know your body is fitter and you have achieved certain things in sport already, you have a completely different, I think, confidence when you go down where all these fit people on the boards are, right? Like if I can imagine in your old life, it would have been like already a mental block, like, oh my goodness, what will other people think of me when I just, you know, come and try to go surfing here?
I mean, to be honest with you, I never really, it sounds terrible, I never really realized. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't have like loads of mirrors in my house. Like I was just working. That was like all I was thinking about. And like, even now, I'll be like walking along and there'll be like a mirror opposite. I'll be like, who's that guy? And I'm like, oh wait, that's me.
Yeah.
So even for me now, like I still not completely, like you say, like, oh, I kind of feel maybe doing the sports makes me feel more confident. So if I go somewhere, I'm like, okay, well I can do this. Cause you know, I swam for 3 hours when I went to Greece on holiday. Well, I can definitely swim in the sea.
Yeah. 100%.
But then when you go out with those guys and then they're like smoking on the beach and drinking and they go out and they're already out and they're out the back and they're catching big waves and you're supposed to be like a triathlete and you're like barely breaking them. Something inside you changes, you know, and you kind of realize that you have to turn things up too.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's part of the like motivation for everybody. There's always someone that's going to be better than you, always. And it can easily put you off because you're like, oh, you know, there might be like loads of people that are better than me. Or you can be like, I'm going to get that good as well.
Yeah.
And that sounds like what you did. You're like, I'm going to be that good. I'm just going to be better. I'm going to be better than I was yesterday. Yeah. And I'm going to be the best I can be, but not win everything because then it's boring.
Yeah. No, don't enter the races that you can win. No.
When I was doing the Spartan race before, I remember like I was carrying this like massive sandbag on my back and I was like really sore. I'm like walking along and then this guy who was probably like 20 years older than me just like runs past me with it on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And so like 2 years along the line, like now when I'm doing Spartan races, like I'm trying to be that guy. So I'm like, I'm seeing everyone like that and I feel the same as they do.
Mm.
But I'm like, I just want to run past them just so that I can get in their head.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that I'm going to get loads of experience of that with Ironman where... Yeah. People are just going to absolutely deck me.
Yeah, is there anything that you're worried about or apprehensive about the Ironman?
I've been following a couple of people also who have been on similar journeys to me and I haven't seen so many like people just confidence just like completely knocked. Like even people that are doing ultra Spartan races, Ironman's just a like really hard race and the training involved is massive. So...
There's a question for me coming up because I asked earlier, like when you do the Ironman, so what's next? And then you said like, okay, then it's like
large
the Aquaman, right?
Yeah, I want to go for, I mean, ultra distance, anything. That's all I mean. I'm not really interested in 5Ks or small.
But what happens if you do the Ironman and you don't like it?
I need to do one. I need to complete an Ironman.
But if you do it and you hate it so much, it's like, oh, this was a wrong decision. I should not do this.
I think,
will you then still try to go for the next one? Or would you then think like, I just want to understand how your mindset is. Would you then say like, okay, well, maybe I should do an Ironman again?
But I guess what you have to think is, I know I'm kind of asking you another question, is like, why don't you like it? Is it because you didn't train enough or because...
For me, that's always the case.
Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to...
I'm not sure there would be a situation where you really like... Because it's all about the journey. I know we've covered this, but it's about the journey, isn't it? I think I've worked with loads of marathon runners, and I think if they just turned up, this is almost impossible, but if you just turn up on the day and run the marathon, I'm sure you'd feel like a great sense of achievement. But I still don't think it would be the same as that journey you've been on if you've been slogging your guts out all winter in all weathers, and sometimes you have failed, like you've got injured or you've had to come home. It's been, I think if you hadn't done that, it wouldn't make the day. And even if the day is pretty terrible, I've seen people who have had all sorts of trouble, or it hasn't been quite how they thought it would be, they still have just come away and thought, they've never thought, I wish I hadn't done that. Because it's everything leading up to it. And I think even if you had a terrible experience, I just can't imagine you're the sort of person that would be like, actually, that was a waste of time. Because there'd always be just be something you could learn from
I don't know what I would do if I didn't have a race like that to train for.
That was
podcasting.
It's like my whole life. Podcasting. Like all of, like, waking up in the morning early, getting on the bike, when it's sunny, going out for a run. Like today, I went swimming in the sun outside for an hour. Like, it was
outside.
Yeah, there are like gyms that have pools outside, but everyone else.
It is. They're heated, right?
Yeah, they are.
Oh, okay. I thought like, well, no, this is enough. No. Get out.
Yeah. No.
Did you see my mum? She's always at that outdoor pool.
Really?
Yeah, at Chesham. She loves it. Absolutely loves it.
I haven't been to the one in Chesham, but
she's loving it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next time when you see a woman loving it, it might be Gemma's mum.
There we go.
There you go.
She only goes once a week. No, okay. She doesn't want to push it.
Not every day. No. Oh, so good.
Do you think that you always have to have an event to be training for?
Yeah,
that's come across quite strongly, hasn't it?
I think really that's the way it's going.
But I think this is how most people tick. So for me, for instance,
probably, yeah.
With us having like these two little children, we didn't, and then also with COVID and stuff, we didn't put any event forward where we said like, oh, but we want to be fit for this event. And it's really difficult for myself to motivate myself and say like, okay, tonight I go riding, because I'm like, yeah, it will be fun, but you know, I don't have to, if that makes sense. So now I'm trying to find a race. We might do the UK Gravel Champs together.
Yeah, I think that's good. September. I think
that would be one for you.
Gravel champs. Because the Brownlees, one of the Brownlees turned up and won it, I think. Or he came second.
Yeah, he's a Ironman person, right? He's like a Ironman.
Yeah, but he doesn't do like gravel. He's not a gravel champs person.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, I'd hope it would be a stretch for him, but obviously not, because he came second.
Do you train alone then?
Yeah. Do all my training alone. I think that's quite common though.
Yeah.
But again, like, it's quite hard to find people when you really really get down to it, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm gonna cycle for like 4 hours.
Anyone want to come
yeah. Like, or even like just going for a run sometimes.
Yeah,
like people are like, oh no, you're gonna like, I'm not gonna run over a half marathon.
Even timing wise, right? If you say like, okay, certain stuff I have to do in the mornings, anyone up for the gym at 6, right?
Do you think it's quite this is meant in a positive way, and I think it applies to most of us, but do you think it's quite a selfish sport in a way? It's because say a Niels was like, yeah, mate, I'll come with you. In your head, just assuming here, Niels, you'd be like, oh, you know, I had this 2-hour run planned and Niels saying he's going to come. And you have got the things, the targets that you want to hit, and it feels almost selfish. And I think, you know, this happens to a lot of us.
I think it's really hard to find a really good person to cycle or to run with. But when you do have that, it's incredible, because either you're both the same, which is like probably kind of almost perfect. But if someone's a little bit faster than you, it's just great.
You know what is annoying? If you go riding and you have in your head, like me, like a certain target, I want to stop at this coffee stop.
Yeah.
And then they say no.
Like someone that would be me. That would be me. I'm so sorry.
It was like... Like, but I came especially.
I came cycle.
Selfishly, I really want to stop at this coffee stop.
I could just do like a figure of eight while you're having your coffee and your tea outside.
Yeah, we have that nowadays. People say like, oh no, we can have a coffee afterwards. I'm like, what's the point? I go home.
I don't like stopping halfway through. No, I'm up.
Shocking.
Do the ride, have the coffee. I'm not a halfway through, unless it's, you know, a long ride and we're, you know, out for the day.
Unbelievable.
They do have races in Germany, Neil, where don't they like
Germany?
Yeah, in Germany where you can have a beer. Country. You can have a beer, right? As you go in the race. Like running races where you stop and have a pint. That must be where it's
at my lake, so where I used to do canoeing, the lake was like 8 kilometers. There was a loop around it, 8 kilometers long. And there used to be a race that you had to do with four of you, and you had to carry a crate of beer with 24 bottles. And obviously it's quite heavy, and you have to carry it, and you have to run, and it has to be empty at the end. So you have like obviously this very strategical thing, right? Either you start drinking during running, which is not nice, or you run all the way, but then you have to down it right at the end.
Gosh, yeah, okay.
So we should introduce something like this here.
Anyways, sorry for that. As long as he's got an event to train for.
As long as we don't stop.
Exactly.
Someone did say to me, though, they were like, maybe you should like go the other way and like start entering like eating races, like eating championship races.
Hot dog.
Like, and go back to where you were before. I was like,
I actually think that athletes could just transition like super easy into eating races.
That's what you're saying.
You can do both, yeah. Really, because, you know, you're like, well, I'm going to be on the bike for 6 hours later. So, yeah, give me 10, like 20 hot dogs, no problem.
Yeah,
I can enter both.
Exactly.
And actually, doing me a favour, because this food bill is, you know, skyrocketing.
Just after you trained, like after a heavy session. I have a question there also, like, you know a lot of people, or just from your job, you know a lot of people and stuff. Does it happen that you see people that you haven't seen in a while and they're like, who are you?
There are literally people that I walk past regularly that don't recognise me.
Yeah.
And it happens very, very often.
Do you say hello or do you just see like what happens?
No, I just start and just carry on going. Just like, oh, they'll never know.
It's hilarious. It's like being Mr. Invisible all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet someone's gone on Facebook like an old school friend. You know, we've all done this bit of Facebook stalking. They're like, wow,
changed.
What happened to him? And that can go obviously either way, but in your case.
For me, it's the other way. For me, it's like, oh my goodness, who is this guy? Like, what happened to him? Oh my goodness. England did not do him well. I think this is just super fantastic and fascinating to follow. What I just would like to understand also is with Instagram, because I see when people comment, there's a lot of people commenting on you, because I think on one hand side, people are genuinely happy for you to what you have achieved. And then second of all, the other group of people is also they going through something very similar or want to get there. And what I really like is like you respond to everyone. That is absolutely fantastic. Did you ever meet people from this online world in the real world?
Yeah, I did. So when I went to Greece, I was looking at running the Authentic Marathon.
Yeah.
And when I stayed there, I met up with, I literally just used the hashtag on his Instagram and just figured out who was around. And I was like, do you fancy going for a run?
Yeah.
And so I ran like this local route. It's just incredible. Really, really
with other people that were there.
Just like a local, like local guy that was there that was always like, doing the like,
it's amazing.
Yeah, so that is the power of the internet, I guess. You can do that, and there is like a great community of runners and cyclists too.
Was there anything negative with internet, with Instagram and stuff that you have experienced? Where you were like, ooh, I could have maybe this was an experience that I maybe didn't want.
I think the thing that's tricky is that when you start posting all of this stuff that you're doing, and it's so out there compared to probably what just a normal person was doing, or certainly what I was like before I started training, they kind of think, oh, well, you've got all this time to do this. Mm. Like you're lucky because you got all this time. And it's like, well, actually I made that time.
Yeah.
And like, I had to sacrifice a lot of stuff to get that time to do that. So, I definitely think that there are just some people out there that are just like, oh, you're just running all day.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. Not taking life seriously. But actually I'm doing loads of stuff outside that too.
Yeah, I think this is a very valid point. I think it's really finding this time, but if you're committed to do it, there's no other choice. You have to find the time, right? Either if you want it so much, you have to find the time in order to do it. And I think sometimes it might be very easy for certain people from the outside to say like, well, you don't do anything else. No, that's not true. I work like really hard.
But I got up at 4 o'clock to do my bike.
I mean, Ironman laundry. Yeah. I mean, I don't know who else is going through this at the moment, but...
Hashtag Ironman laundry.
There's a real problem out there. Like, there's a lot of laundry going on. Yeah. There's so much sports and there's so much clothes.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, that's ridiculous.
It's crazy. So running, cycling, swimming... Swimming is your most favourite at the minute?
So for me, I really enjoy swimming, but I don't do it as often because I just feel really comfortable swimming. Mm. Running when it's nice and sunny is great. For me, the bike is the thing that I'm struggling on the most because it's a long time. So out of the race, I'm kind of expecting to spend a couple of hours, well, maximum couple of hours swimming, so maybe an hour and a half swim. Then I think the average time for Bolton is 7 hour cycle. That's a long time cycling. And then the marathon, which after doing 7 hour cycles, gonna be pretty painful, to be honest.
It's tough.
So I reckon five and a half hours maybe. So I'm gonna be pretty close to cut off time.
With cycling, because most of our listeners are cyclists, is there anything that where you were like, I wish I would know how to do that, or this bit never, I never understood how that worked, or I wish I could know that because it would make my life easier on the bike. Is there anything like this where you would like to get like really valid advice?
For me, it's the gears.
Yeah.
My gears are always like either going into the one below or the one above. They're never perfect. Yes. No, I've taken it to play. Like, basically, I take it in, I get it serviced, and it's fine with the wheel.
Yeah.
As soon as I put up my turbo trainer.
I can help you with that.
It's horrible.
I can help you.
Yes.
Yeah, genuinely. Yeah. I'm a geek like that.
Yeah, we sent Gemma around. Yeah. Well, I would think you just adjust it to the new cassette.
Yeah, you can put like a little spacer in.
Oh,
I can help you. Not always, but I might be able to help. Yeah, and if not, I'll just ring Niels.
I always just readjust my gears every time.
Oh, that's a pain, though.
That's easy.
Anyway, yeah, we can help. But isn't it good that you were like, oh, even though I do all of this, the smallest thing is just getting on my wick that every time I get on the turbo, when I change gear, it's like just clicking a little bit.
You know, it's like just way louder than it needs to be.
Yeah,
and it's just like
so. Our listeners or viewers on YouTube, wherever you are.
Please don't call me.
If you have any more tips than the ones that we have just given, just reach out to Dan on It's Dan Turner on Instagram and just send him a message or comment on his latest post and give you advice to help this boy out.
Absolutely. I'd really, really appreciate it.
What do you do when you're on the bike for the whole time? Like, I'm not into watching films. I just listen to music. Or the radio is for me when I was like doing 5 hours of ride radio all the way.
So every morning at the moment, it's just like news for an hour. Mm. Like, that's the one.
Oh, it's very depressive, actually.
Very depressing. But it's like, I need to know what's going on. So, but then when I start doing like the longer ones, like get some good pasta on the go, put a movie on. So it's like pasta, movie. Like some, I remember like
it's kind of like your old life.
Yeah,
really,
just like just chilling, just
but
there, just on my bike.
Yeah, at the same time. Yeah,
it's brilliant, so good. Yeah, I remember the first time I tried to do a 112-mile bike ride at home. That was just the longest day ever. It's just like literally had everything around me and just cycled. Just
I did it. I remember I had in lockdown there was a like a Zwift ride, and I think it was going to be maybe it was 100K or something. But I turned it into 100 miles. And my housemates at the time bought me loads of food. So that was kind of my highlight. I was like, I texted, I was like, in half an hour, I'll have the pizza, please.
That's really good.
And by the end of it, I had like the pizza, the chicken nuggets, everything.
Wasn't this the guy who also brought you wine?
I don't know if it was whilst I was on the ride, but probably.
I know that was when we were recording podcasts, actually.
Oh, that was. That was when we were recording. Yeah. Really yeah, same one, same housemate.
Oh, so good, so good.
We could do like a remake of that, the German canoe race that you were talking about.
Yeah.
With a bit, but we could both be on our turbo trainers.
It's running, actually.
But we could do it with turbo trainers, and we could just have a few, like being in the pub. What do you think, Niels?
So we can take the turbo trainers to the pub.
Yeah.
At the bar. Just imagine.
missed all of that. Yeah,
that's fine. It was just nonsense. No, so good. It's Dennis, really fascinating speaking to you. I think it's like really, really, really encouraging, motivating. And what I really love is your enthusiasm. It's like this natural enthusiasm, you know, like, I'm a relative grumpy person. No, I'm not. But I opened the door and it is this really smiling person in front of me. I was really, really happy. And I think people that follow you on Instagram, this is also another reason why they follow you. It's like they really see this enthusiasm that just really jumps across. And even if you had a bad day and you meet Dan, I think you will be like feel much, much better afterwards. So, yeah.
I think it is enthusiasm. I think it's like an air of ease as well. Yeah. Like, yeah, this is, you haven't made it seem super simple. Yeah. You've said there were challenges along the way, but just this ease about it. Like, this is my life now and this is what I do and I really enjoy it. Yeah, I feel at ease with you and with the training that you're doing, even though I imagine inside it's completely hectic,
I think you kind of have to feel like that. You need to enjoy the journey. Like, if you're not enjoying it, then you maybe need to scale it back. And then just like at the moment, I had like a patch of like maybe 3 weeks ago, and I was like, oh, I can't do like this Ironman training is just really hard. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do it. And I just kind of listened to my own advice and was like, just be consistent, just do the hour on the bike every morning, just get that done.
Yeah.
And then eventually you end up there anyway. But sometimes when we're looking at the big thing, it's so hard to
panic. Yeah. We have to remember that this is something that we chose to do as well. We're like, most of us are not, pretty much all of us are not getting paid to do it. It's a choice we make. So there's only so much beating yourself up that you can do before you have to be like, this is my choice. So I kind of got to get on with it, or I choose not to do it.
I think it's a life you chose, right? Mike and I, we often refer to Dr. Ian Walker that we spoke to in one of our first episodes. And then later again, he's a professor of, I will get this wrong, but he is a professor, psychology professor. And as far as I know, he talks a lot about behavioral change. And I think, especially in your situation, you needed a certain time to completely change your habits and your behavior. And then all of a sudden, this becomes the norm. And I guess once you are there, it is much easier than at the beginning when you are still working to get to this new behavior.
Exactly. And you learn so much along the way. So when you're then kind of, when you're faced with a challenge, you kind of feel like it's possible and it kind of goes away.
What is the single most impressive thing you have learned about your body?
That's a really, really good question.
Or two or three things.
To be honest with you, I had no idea that I was capable of the things that I've done. I'm like the first, when I ran London Virtual, I tried to run two marathons back to back. I ran 44 miles. And
As
you do. and the next day I woke up and I was like, kind of felt okay. And I was like, this is incredible. Like, I can't believe I can do that. Likewise swimming. Like, I was on holiday in Greece and there was this like boat tour, and the boat tour was like, we'll take you over to this beach and then you can like go visit this island. I was like, I'm going to swim it. So I just swam it.
I don't need the boat.
I swam it. And I was like, this is amazing.
How much? 5 pounds? It's
like,
I swim.
It's like 3 hours swimming. I got stung by a jellyfish and everything. But it was like, wow, okay, I can do that. So just like knowing that you're capable.
But you were not faster than the boat, right?
No. I wasn't holding on either.
You never win.
No.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, I think this is, I guess, like the most impressive thing is like what your body is actually capable of once you get to a certain point or once you commit to something.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really good. Really good. Do you have any questions?
No.
Sorry, listeners. Gemma was just looking at me and I think she fell asleep.
No, I wasn't. I was just listening. I forgot that I was a host.
No, it's really good. It's so good. No, Dan, thank you so much for coming onto our show. to our listeners, as you know, this was not a 100% cycling episode, but I think we this will add a lot of value to your life just to listen to this show and maybe like adopt a couple of these positivities into your day-to-day life. At the moment, life seems to be a little bit more depressing than it was a couple of years ago for many of us. So I think if you just take the positive vibes and bring it back into your life and, you know, set yourself goals, try to achieve it and find your own limits. So then if people want to follow you, where will they find you?
So I'm only using Instagram, and it's Dan Turner.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay. And I guess people that you want to thank or brands that you want that are supporting
it's,
you.
It's will, all on there.
It's all on there.
Absolutely.
It's all on there. So cool. So if you listen to the podcast, give Dan a follow. I'm pretty sure you won't regret it. He's a super nice bloke from our area. And yeah, if you want to support the podcast, what can you do?
Oh no, you're going to ask me, aren't you? Yeah. You can, of course. Yeah. You can follow us on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, Spotify, any other music platform.
You know, that's the most important, really. Spotify, iTunes, that's what yeah. counts. And yeah, subscribe on YouTube. That helps a lot. It's for the algorithm, really. Just the more people subscribe, the better for us. The more people find us, the more fun it will be for us on the long run. So cool. Yeah. So what are we going to do? We are going out riding our bikes?
Definitely. Tomorrow, Friday. Yeah. Bike night.
Bike night. Bike to the pub. Because as you know, the best stories have not yet been written. Da-dum.
Can
I have to push the button again. Do we do all the monkey dance? Let's do the monkey dance. It's so awkward.
It's so long.
It's all right at the beginning, but then you can't do the whole thing.